Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? Welcome to the Around the World podcast. I'm your host, Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more in the Around the World podcast.
My guests for today are Croy and Shalon Nuremberger. Croy and Shalon are good friends of ours from Madison, Wisconsin, and they both happen to be traveling in China this December. We spent most of our time on the podcast talking about their trip and all the cool things we've done and the stuff that's yet to come. Please welcome Croy and Shalon. Why don't you start off by telling me why you're here, why you're in China?
So I'm here. I was here for a curling tournament. And for those of you that don't know what curling is, it's a sport on ice that most people see only during the Olympics. And it's gotten more popular in China in the last decade. And to continually gain interest in it in China, they host a few international competitions each year, and this was one of them, where they invite one team from like seven different countries to do a week-long competition. So I was in Xining.
Kind of out in the middle of nowhere, huh?
Yeah, I've been to Hong Kong a couple times for work, but never anywhere else in China.
Yeah, I'll have to like put up a map or something on the show notes just to kind of show where it is. But the vast majority of Chinese people live like along the East Coast. And there's just a couple of cities that are like pretty far inland, and Xining is one of them.
Yeah, and it's, even though it's a small city in China, it's still 2 million people, which is...
Yeah. Yeah, for China, that's like nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, right now we're in Xi'an, which I think has closer to 10 million people.
Yeah.
It's a lot bigger. It's like, so Xi'an's probably like a second tier city. And then the first tier cities are like 20 million people or more, like Beijing and Shanghai and Shenzhen and Guangzhou.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Xining in the grand scheme of things is pretty small. And so are you, I don't really know what to call you. Are you like a world-class curler? Are you like...
I know you're
a modest guy, so
yeah. So the best curlers in the world, most of them are Canadian, and then a couple European countries have like teams that will continually finish in the top in the world, which Sweden and Norway are being two of those countries. U.S. has got some really good teams, but they historically haven't been as good as the Canadian teams or some of the European teams.
So does Canada usually win the gold in the Olympics?
Yeah, they're always the favorite to win gold.
Oh, okay. Well, it makes sense. It's an ice sport.
Yeah. But
was it invented in Canada, or do you know the history?
It was started in Scotland. I don't remember the exact century, but it was played on frozen lakes.
Makes sense.
Big rocks.
With rocks, or eventually, I guess they used wooden blocks as well instead of curling stones.
But they use stones now, right?
Yeah, they're all granite stones. It's a very specific type of granite, which is from an island off of Scotland, I believe.
So all of them are from the same island? Like all curling stones?
Yes, I believe so.
Like the quality ones. I think you can get old, junky ones, but they're not the same quality.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How heavy are they? They look pretty heavy.
They're about 43 pounds. So, yeah, they're definitely heavy, but they're easy to slide down the ice.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess since it's ice. Now, do you, like, so the government invited you here, right? The Chinese government. Do you have to bring your own stones?
No.
That would suck.
That would be awful.
Yeah, every... when curling was first... Oh, when curling was in... an older sport, the the teams had their own stones, and they had to travel with them with the horse and buggy. But fortunately, now we don't have to travel with them. We use the stones at each event.
Okay, and they're totally the same? All of them are?
Well, there's like a specific range of diameters and weights that they need to be.
Oh, okay.
At every curling facility, the stones should be nearly identical.
Okay, so there's not like a huge period of adjustment to like using different stones?
No, nobody's... even the elite curlers are not going to notice a slight difference in one stone versus another.
So it's not like bowling balls or something?
No.
And is the ice always the same? Like the same quality? And
no, the ice is different everywhere you go as far as how much force is required to push or to have the curling stone travel from one end to the other, and how much it curves or curls down the length of its travel. So that's something that make the elite curlers elite and the novice curlers novice, is the ability to adjust to different ice conditions from one venue to another.
Oh, and are those different like on purpose, or that's just how it turns out?
It's pretty much how it turns out. There's a lot of science and a lot of technique that goes into making competition curling ice. If you go to a small town curling club, the ice is going to be what we call slow, which means it takes a lot of force to get it to go to the opposite end of the curling sheet. But there's an ideal or a somewhat ideal specifications for curling ice as far as how long it takes for how many seconds it takes for the rock to go from one end to the other and stop in a certain spot, and how much it curves as it travels down the ice.
Okay. And so do you guys get like some practice rounds before you start?
Yeah. At big competitions, we always get about an hour of practice.
Oh, so you have a pretty good feel for what the ice is going to be like?
Yeah.
Okay. And there's different, like, how many, what do you call them, lanes?
Sheet.
Sheets?
Yeah.
How many sheets are there?
That varies as well from event to event. Some curling clubs have two sheets, and some have over 10.
Okay. Is the ice pretty much the same on all of them in one facility? Or can even that be different?
That generally it's the same, but it can be different.
Huh.
Like sometimes the floor is uneven, like underneath the ice.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's some ventilation drafts, like above one sheet, that doesn't happen on another one, so it's going to cause it to behave differently.
All these little micro factors that can change it. Huh?
Yeah.
Huh. And so like, how was the one in China like compare? I mean, was it like quality, how good of quality is the place, and how good of quality are the sheets?
So we were at one of the Chinese Olympic training complexes. So they have a building that's for their ice sports. So I'm sure they do ice skating there as well. But they hired a Canadian ice maker to travel here for the event, and he got here probably a week before we started to prepare the ice. So the ice conditions here were very good and what we would expect to see at like our U.S. national championships or an elite curling event in Canada.
Okay, so they're not messing around.
No.
Yeah.
So they had, I can't remember where the stones are, but I think they might be from the World Curling Federation. So they had really good stones and a really good ice maker, which generally leads to really good ice conditions and a really good competition.
That's awesome. Were there Chinese teams too, or just international?
No, there's one Chinese men's and one Chinese women's team.
Oh, okay. And how many countries?
7 other countries for men and women. And so there's 8 countries total for men and women.
Okay.
So 16 teams altogether.
That sounds cool. And like, so how long does this competition go for?
About a week.
That's quite a commitment.
Yeah, 6 days.
Fly halfway around the world and...
Yeah, so we got here, I think one day early. We had a day of practice, and then we either had one or two games each day for a round robin, and then the top four teams advanced to the playoffs.
Yeah. Do you mind if I ask how you did? Or is that kind of a sore spot?
We had a three-way tie for first place after the round robin at 6 wins and 1 loss. And then we lost both games in the playoffs, so we finished fourth.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. Sorry. Yeah. You get them next time.
Yeah. So hopefully I'll come back again.
Yeah. So also they do this every year?
The first time they've had it at this location, but I believe they plan on having it every year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So while this was going on, Shallan flew out to Beijing to meet with Katie and me.
Yeah.
So why don't you talk about that, Shallan?
Oh, that's great.
Like, how was your flight out? Let's start with that.
Sure, that's a good place to start. Flight was fine. Leaving Madison was a little hectic. I had everything ready to go. I was prepared. My bags are packed. But there's those last minute things you want to do in the morning. And the early morning that I left, my dog ate the gift I was going to bring you. Gourmet chocolates. He's done that before, and I know that it has a bad outcome, so...
Like gastrointestinal outcome. Yeah,
dark chocolate caramel.
Yeah.
So I was feeding him, like, online it suggested I give him hydrogen peroxide. So it's freezing cold, and I had given him that, and I was trying to walk him to get him to, you know, move it.
Yeah.
It wasn't happening. But it happened before, in the house before I left, so... That's
fine, yeah. You had a little thing to clean up.
Huh? Yeah, well, I started a little, like, more hectic than I planned, but the rest was good.
It's kind of funny, because, like, when Katie and I heard that, we weren't even, like, mad or anything at your dog, because we just know it's so, like, vintage keto that...
It's totally true.
You just know it's going to happen.
Yeah, when Katie lived with me, he got into her stuff all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of funny, like, your dog loves eating... What did he eat once? Like toothpaste or something?
I think he ate a bag of cough drops.
Once. Cough drops, yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad one. a bag of Hershey Kisses. So that was like, and the tinfoil, the colorful tinfoil.
I mean, he doesn't know how to unwrap.
Exactly. So he'll, he doesn't mind, he'll just eat it all. And then, yeah, it's like confetti afterward.
Oh my God.
But otherwise the flight was good. I had a 16-hour flight from Chicago to Hong Kong. Couple hours in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And then I flew from Hong Kong to Beijing and arrived just after 2 a.m.
Yeah, that's that's quite the long itinerary.
It was a little bit of a long itinerary.
Because for those of you who don't know your Chinese geography, Hong Kong is pretty far from Beijing. It's like probably further than New York to Florida.
Oh my gosh.
To Miami. And like, there's direct flights from Hong Kong to Beijing, so I'm taking it was just a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, direct flights from Chicago to Beijing, so...
Yeah.
Hong Kong was cheaper?
It was cheaper. Unfortunately, like, I watched the flight pattern on my first flight, and I could see us passing over Beijing.
So you just want to parachute down.
Exactly, and then 3 hours later, I landed in Hong Kong, and then waited 3 hours, and then flew back to Beijing. But I got my bags. It was pretty easy getting out of the airport. Katie and Dan had scheduled a driver, and he had my name on a sign, and he was smiling, so I was thrilled to see him. Started asking him questions, and he just said yes to everything. So pretty quickly realized he didn't speak any English.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, were you waiting long? Yes. Is it snowing here? Yes.
There's no snow there.
I figured I couldn't really ask him about the area. So I just looked out the window for the drive into where your apartment is.
Yeah. Well, it was middle of the night, so not much to see anyway.
Yeah. So he dropped me off. He pulled into kind of a parking lot, and he got out, gave me my bags, and the one English word other than yes was, bye.
And, like, I had been texting this guy beforehand, and I told him, make sure you drop her off, or make sure you let me know when you drop her off, and then I'll come down and get her. And, like, he just skipped that whole part. And I'm sure he understood, because, I mean, we were texting in Chinese.
Yeah,
but obviously he didn't understand.
I guess not.
Because he just said bye.
Yeah, bye. So I kind of panicked, because there's doorways everywhere, and not really anything that looked like it's for sure where they lived. So I kind of waved, where? Like, which door? So he looked at each door, and then kind of pulled me over and pointed at one. Yeah. And then he left. But still, there was, like, no sign of, like, people other than some guy, like, on a bike outside. And I was panicking.
And you don't speak any Chinese.
No Chinese. No internet.
For all you know, he just dropped you off in some big city in the middle of nowhere.
And it's, like, 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So I tried using WeChat and texting, but, there was no internet, so nothing was going through. So I went through my phone, and I knew I had Katie's Beijing number, and I don't know why it worked, but it dialed her, and it was the greatest sound when she said, hello.
Yeah. That must have been some horrible roaming charge. You'll get a nice surprise later.
Yeah, Corey will be thrilled.
Your phone bill.
I'm sure. Haven't looked that up yet.
But yeah, I mean, meanwhile, Katie and I were just kind of, like, sleeping on and off, and she just woke up and said, hey, hasn't the driver texted you yet? And I'm like, no. Wow, where is this guy? And then that's when Shalon called. So she ran down to get her, and everything was fine.
Yeah, it was great. It was totally fine, and Katie was, like, pretty wide awake, so we chatted for a while. Poor Dan was not feeling super great. But he was up.
God, my voice is still not really there, but
yeah.
I don't know. I think I had some sort of bacterial infection, strep, or anything from strep throat to pneumonia. I don't even know, because I haven't gone to a doctor, but I got antibiotics at one point.
As soon as you started the antibiotics, though, you bounced back, like, compared right to where away. You were.
But I was in bad shape for a few days.
Yeah. But that said, like, our first day, obviously Katie had to go to work, and Dan was such a trooper. He took me on a little tour, just on foot, and got some money. So that's the other thing. When he dropped me off, I didn't have any Chinese money, so.
Oh, yeah. No money, no way of calling people.
With some blonde girl in the city.
No Chinese language knowledge. Yep. Oh, that would have been fun.
Oh, yeah.
If he had not dropped you off in the right spot.
Find a taxi and coordinate how I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah.
I would have had my panic attack on that.
Right.
Yeah.
Who knows what you would have done.
I know. Well, there's that guy on a bike picking trash, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had English.
Oh, yeah. Because random people in China are picking up trash at 3 in the morning. They usually speak English.
Oh, sure. But the first day, Dan and Katie had told me about how they bike around Beijing. And on our little walking tour, I was, like, already pretty, it was overwhelming. There's traffic everywhere. You just walk through it. Dodge things coming at you.
Yeah, there's a lot of cars.
Yeah. And then Dan said, well, you ready to go on the bikes? And I said, yes. So that was super amazing. Like, going through the Hunangs?
Hutangs.
Hutangs.
Yeah.
Biking through and, dodging more people and more cars and bikes.
Do you want to explain what a hutang is?
Oh, yeah. A hutang is, like, alleyways where there's businesses in them and people will live. Like, you'd see a little doorway, and a few times we tried to peek in, and the doorway would open to a courtyard where maybe, would you say, 5 or 6 houses or, like, share that courtyard?
Yes, yeah. Or maybe 4 to 6 people.
Okay.
It's kind of all, like, one connected building.
Yeah, like an open courtyard in the middle.
Yeah, with an open courtyard in the middle.
Not fancy.
No, well,
not the ones I saw.
Katie and I looked into actually living in one.
Oh,
and because we had a couple friends who lived in one, but we found out that they tend to either be just complete trash, or, like, super nice, and there's not really any in between. And our friends lived in one that was super nice.
It's not a character.
Yeah, but it was just too expensive.
Oh.
Like, we would have had to pay extra money in to rent it. And we could get, like, a nice apartment for a lot less money.
With a guest room.
And the place that our friends had, it's not even a bedroom. It doesn't even have a bedroom. It's just a loft.
Oh.
Oh, it looks beautiful, but it's just not really worth it, I don't think.
Yeah, it's nice that you...
For us.
Yeah, with all the guests you have coming through, it's nice you can mm-hmm. host.
Right. Yeah, you would have had to sleep on the couch.
Which I would have slept in worse, I think.
Yeah.
But, so I saw the hutongs mm-hmm. and peeked in a few. First stop was the Lama Temple.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. So, very colorful. It was kind of the first taste of, like, the Buddhist culture. Buddhist culture I had gotten. So, we picked up our incense. Dan explained that you burn the incense in front of each, what do you call it, like, each altar?
Urn, I guess. Or,
you can do one or three, but you never do two or four, right?
I guess you could do one at a time. It wouldn't be, like, bad or anything.
But okay.
Typically, you do multiples of three.
Yeah.
So you could do three or six or nine.
Yeah, or at the end, you just take the rest of them, and there's, like, 30, and you just do more.
Well, that'll be a multiple of three if you take all of them.
Perfect. Well, yeah.
But, you don't ever want to do four. Do you know why?
I know you said it's bad luck. It's bad.
It's bad, yeah. It's because the word for death in Chinese is si, and the word for four in Chinese is si. And so they sound alike. So four is a bad number because it resembles death.
Interesting.
So a lot of buildings in China won't even have a fourth floor.
Like our 13?
Yeah, like it's like our 13.
Only
yeah.
kind of worse.
Yeah, it's like a superstitious number.
Ah, interesting.
And I think 8 and 9 are both really good numbers for different reasons. But they're all based on homonyms.
Oh, okay.
With the language.
Yeah, learning a lot of interesting little, like, snippets here and there.
Yeah.
Which has been, like, pretty neat.
There's so many little things.
Yeah, things I don't even know to ask. And then, like, Dan or Katie will say, oh, do you know this? Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, cult is just such a different culture.
Yeah.
Like, I've even heard of, like if you want to build a hotel in Las Vegas and cater to Chinese customers or Asian customers, you almost, like, have to hire someone who's culturally aware.
Oh,
like which direction the bed should be facing and what color the walls can be.
Oh my gosh.
You know, all these little things. Because
you
could easily put something in your room that is offensive and not know it.
And you lose all of your clients.
Yeah, no one's going to go there then.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The end of the Lama Temple, Dan said there's a surprise. I guessed after seeing all these big gold Buddhas and gods, I guess that it was a giant Justin Bieber.
pretty close.
Yeah, it was pretty close, but it wasn't. But I feel like I shouldn't say, because maybe someone's going to come and want to see it and be surprised.
I don't know. They're going to be disappointed no matter what, because it's not going to be Justin Bieber.
And, right.
Even though he is a god.
It's true.
They already know
the
this.
So. Well, it was a huge, huge Buddha god.
Yeah, statue of Buddha. Yeah.
Yes. Made of one piece of sandalwood.
Yeah.
It was incredible. So big.
Now yeah.
So I saw that.
Maybe the largest in the world. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Guinness came by and the world records folks and verified that it's made from one piece of wood. But I don't think they got a record for being the biggest.
Oh my gosh.
But maybe there just isn't one.
Maybe.
But it's huge.
It's so big. The funny thing is my guidebook, like, it talks about the Lama Temple and what it says about this giant, giant figurine. Like, of all the things it could say, it said, each toe is the size of a pillow. What? First, I would think it's bigger than most pillows, but also, what?
How big is a pillow?
Exactly. I mean, these are giant toes.
Like, a pillow could be the size of your fist.
That's
or it
true.
Could be, like, the size of you.
Yeah, like, I don't know. So that was funny, and... Yeah. Not really accurate.
Yeah, it's not something I would compare it with.
No.
Like, at least use something that's a standard size.
Yeah, right? Huh. Like, I don't know, even a car. Because I would have thought it was the size of a car. This thing was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably like four stories tall.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So that's the surprise at the end.
Yeah. Not Justin Bieber, but I liked it better.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You forgot to push the button on his toe that makes him sing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're supposed to put some coins in them. And
I gotta go back.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be a Justin Bieber song. I don't know what my thing is with Justin Bieber this week.
I'm just kidding. Somebody would have burned the whole thing down if that,
yeah,
if that were the case.
Yeah.
So what do we do next?
Okay, so next up, back on the bikes. Okay, so first, we went to the Bell and Drum Tower.
Yeah.
Which was really neat. I say that about everything, but everything has been, like, jaw-dropping. Like, I'm learning, and Dan sat that one out. He sat downstairs because he was feeling a little...
Yeah.
under the weather.
Okay, you might say that.
Yeah. And there's pretty steep stairs. So it's better that you did that. So see, I went to the drum tower first.
Do you remember anything about, like, what it is? Or?
So it's the timekeeper of, like, the original timekeeper of the city. Like, the ringing of the bell and then the drums on the other end of this courtyard were marking time for the city, historically.
Yeah.
Right? And I kind of read a story about the bell, and, like, the part that stood out was how this bell, they couldn't get it to cast, like, it wouldn't set. And the emperors were coming, and they wanted it ready by a certain time so that they could start telling time in Beijing. And the caster's daughter knew how serious this was, so she, like, with not much time to spare, she threw herself into the bronze cast, and of course the father cried. But everything set, and it was great, and they
She sacrificed herself. See, I don't even remember reading that.
Yeah, it was kind of on the opposite side, so...
do you think that's true, or is it, like, a legendary?
I don't know.
Sounds like a legend.
It sounds like a legend, yeah.
Huh.
Like,
yeah, it's a cool story.
Yeah, it's a good story. Yeah. Woman power? I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. They've got, you know, like, there's a lot of stories like that around the world.
Yeah, that's true. Like,
young girls, like, sacrificing themselves.
Yeah, and not even asked to, so she did it to save her
family. Yeah, like a noble
thing. Yeah.
Huh.
So... but that was pretty neat. Then I went over to the bell tower. That was the bell tower. Then I went to the drum tower. Saw the ancient drums, and unfortunately, I got to walking tour. I got down way down the stairs again, and as I was to, like, the bottom stairs, the drumming show started.
Yeah.
So I missed it. I could hear it, but
It's pretty loud. I mean, You might not have liked it anyway.
That's a good point.
If you're inside.
Yeah, protect
your ears. Probably be amplified.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I met with Dan, and we grabbed the bikes again, and as I started biking, the little the shifter, like, broke off the bike and started hanging down by my feet.
Yeah, the whole cable was just hanging there.
Yeah. So Dan said, "Oh, we'll probably just find a bike mechanic." And sure enough, we come around the corner of a hutong. There's this group of men playing, like, mahjong or something.
They were playing cards.
Okay, they're playing cards. Yeah, because they're throwing things down. And one of them comes over and says, I've got the same piece made from Taiwan. I don't know.
Yeah.
Bam, he fixes it.
Yeah, 10 minutes later, off we go.
Yeah, we're back. Like, didn't even interrupt our trip. And in fact, I got some pictures of it because I thought that was pretty unique.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I can put them up on the website.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, yeah, it's definitely different than, you know, American society. It's, it's so, like, anything breaks here, you just quick get a guy to fix it.
Yeah.
And things are going to break all the time because everything's so low quality.
But it worked the rest of the day.
Yeah,
the new piece.
Yeah, that's cheap.
Yeah.
I think he charged us the equivalent of, like, $9 for a new one.
Oh, nice.
And it was fully installed.
Yeah, he let me test it. It was good to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see, our bike tour from there, we biked by the lakes. Dan explained how this, like, kind of hit, well, that was that the hipster area where the
karaoke
is.
Well, there's a few of those.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, I call it, there's a place I call hipster hutong.
Yeah,
it's
all,
like, rebuilt, and
you could totally call that part out, like, you could see that from where we were.
Yeah.
But we went, like, along the lakes. Dan said, oh, in the summers, all of these places, people are singing karaoke. And sure enough, like, one guy was singing karaoke.
Yeah.
We didn't jump in. And after that, that pretty much ended our bike tour. We got back and had some tea.
I forgot. Remember what happened when we first left the apartment?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, this was kind of epic. Karai, I didn't even tell you this. So, on our, like, when we first left the apartment on foot, we were, like, I don't know, 200 yards from your front door. And Dan was just telling me about like the traffic, and people do anything, like drive any direction and don't look. And he said, there are accidents all the time. Bang! Like exactly at that moment,
yeah.
A car comes out of a parking lot and just smashes into a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have been like better timing.
Oh, yeah.
This accidents all the time. Bam!
Like 2 seconds later.
Yeah.
And then we walked up and I started giving you the play-by-play.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, now they're going to swear at each other. Okay, now they're going to, like, assess the damage. And now one of them's going to pay the other one in cash.
It'll be good and, to like, go.
Whoever was at fault.
Oh, yeah.
That guy obviously just pulled out of the parking lot without looking.
Yeah, and, like, he took a pretty big turn. Like, and that wasn't even, like, it was a terrible turn that he took.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then when we came back, there were pieces of you could see, like, pieces of the motorbike, right?
Yeah, it's still on the road.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you got hit, you're not going to waste your time sweeping that up.
Nah, probably not. I mean, everybody was okay, but...
Yeah.
You know, it's... like, that's the thing. They don't really drive that fast here, so, like...
Yeah.
The accidents are rarely, like, severe, but they're pretty common.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just... I don't know. It's just part of how it is. Luckily, I've never had an accident on my bike, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah, we didn't... I don't want to jinx it, but we didn't have any close calls either. I mean...
Nah.
If this was in Wisconsin and I was riding a bike, a lot of that I would have called a close call. Like, oh, dodging around things. But in the grand scheme of things,
we
were fine.
Yeah, you just kind of always have to keep your head on a swivel. And,
yeah, wear a helmet.
Wear a helmet, for sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Usually works out all right.
Yeah, we did just fine.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great.
So what else did we do? Did we go out for dinner?
Oh, my gosh. We went out for Beijing duck with Katie and Morgan.
Yeah.
Your roommate. And it was phenomenal. Like, we'd on our bike trip, we'd gone by this restaurant, so I kind of knew what windows to look for and look for the ducks hanging in the windows. And inside the window, you could see the, like, the brick oven with the ducks roasting inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we get there and order our duck and, like, 5 appetizers?
Yeah, we
got so much food.
A lot, like, too much.
And then Dan, of course, like, was hard, couldn't really eat.
No.
So...
Yeah, I was sick. I was just eating a few bites of food a day.
Yeah. I was definitely eating. Oh, how did I forget that we had dumplings and buns to start our day?
Yeah, so many things to think about.
But so many good things.
And whenever we go out for duck, Katie always, like, wants to get way too much food because she wants you to try everything.
She's a good hostess.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we stuffed ourselves.
Oh, we did. It was great, though. Oh, and then, so afterward, Katie and I separated from Dan and Morgan, and we went into, like, a hutong bar, a baijiu bar.
Yeah.
So we
And what's baijiu?
It's a sugarcane liquor, right? No.
No, no.
It's a liquor made of rice.
Yeah, rice.
Yeah.
Rice. It's strong. And
oh, yeah. And we got the sample platter. Plus 2 drinks.
And if you just say that word baijiu around most foreigners in Beijing who know what it is, they'll just give you this disgusted look.
It was really good.
But yeah, like the low-end stuff is just, it's like gasoline. It's just horrible. And guys just sit there drinking it all night, too.
Oh, gosh. Like, I couldn't drink it all night, but sharing a sampler and one good drink was fine.
Yeah, the higher-end stuff, like, it's pretty good. But
yeah.
I think, like, most foreigners... they get a sip of it, you know, and it just tastes horrible. And and that's, like, the cheap stuff. But so there's just no way they're going to upgrade to, like, a $100 bottle of it.
Yes.
And even though that would actually be pretty good tasting.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Turns you off.
Yeah, they're just done.
Yeah. Well, we had a good experience. It was good to catch up and chat with my old roommate and give Dan a little rest.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had to pack because I'm going away for a couple months, actually, to Yunnan. I'm going to do some writing, and Katie's going to meet me down there for Chinese New Year.
You've got more adventures to come.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah.
But that was, like, my last night in Beijing.
Oh, man. Yeah, you're not feeling well? You have to, like, quick pack because we flew out the next day.
Yeah. So the next day...
it's Friday.
We got up early and... flew out to Qinghai.
Yeah, Xining.
To Xining City in Qinghai province.
Yeah.
Did
a little walking tour. Found ourselves a nice hostel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good place to stay.
Yeah.
And then we, let's see. We went out and saw, we were looking for a mosque.
Yeah. So we saw, a really beautiful one with
This area is like probably over a third of the people are Muslim. About a third. Whereas most of China, there's only a few Muslims here and there, so they're kind of concentrated in a few areas. And this city happens to have like about one third Muslim, and so there's a lot of mosques. So we went looking for the big one.
So we found what we thought was the big famous one. So I took a lot of pictures while Dan rested, and we came back to show him some pictures, and we realized it was not the giant famous one.
Like, I thought we were done.
No.
I was having trouble walking, like, more than a block.
Having to rest. And it's pretty cold out, so he's, like, having to sit back and take a breather. So,
lucky. Yeah. But then eventually we found the good one.
We did. Covered in lights. Like, from this kind of beautiful white one with, like, scrolling artwork. I don't know. Yeah. And then this one that I compare to, like, Las Vegas. Because there was blinking, flashing, colorful lights all over the top of it and the edges of it. So then we went inside.
Yeah, we were kind of like debating. Yeah. First of all, there was only one door and it said exit.
Yeah.
And we were looking for the entrance door and couldn't find it. And then there's a sign that kind of explained the rules.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't want to just walk into a mosque because they've got like strict rules sometimes.
Right.
Especially with like what you can wear. And,
yeah, and like what women.
And are you allowed to go in if you're not Muslim? And, you know, we want to be respectful. Eventually, like, it had some rules written in English, but they're kind of ambiguous, actually.
Right, like, women in what do you call it? Not a lot of apparel clothes, like, in kind of, skanky clothes.
Yeah, like, if you're a floozy, basically, said.
Yeah, you can't come in. I was bundled
up. It said, like, if you're a floozy, you can only come in between, like, 4 and 6 p.m.
That's right.
Something like that. I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Right.
If you're dressed, like, really well, then anytime. Can you come in anytime? How's that work?
You're right. So we went in.
Anyway, we just eventually were like, ah, screw it, let's go in.
Yeah.
And as soon as we walked in, there's, like, their, whatever they call it, their service was ending.
Yeah. Like, all men were just...
And,
pouring.
Like 100 men just came walking toward us.
Yeah.
All wearing like the Muslim clothes and with big beards and just like walking right at us. And we were just like the only, like we hadn't seen any other foreigners anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And you're, you know, blonde and your hair's not covered or anything. And I'm like, oh shit, now we're going to get a beat down.
Now we're getting booted. But we didn't.
None of them said a word to us.
No, they hardly, I feel like they didn't even look at us that
much. No, they didn't even really pay attention.
No, they had places to go. So
So
we did a little kind of our walk around and
it
was pretty neat. And we came outside and the flashing Vegas style lights had been turned off and it was like, it was really pretty. Without the
with no lights.
With no lights. It was, a little more, like, traditional.
Without the Gaud.
Yeah.
Gaudi.
So by then, we kind of had to get back because Katie was going to meet us at the hostel.
Oh, yeah. So Katie had a later flight because she had to work. And then we all met up. And then next day, you guys went out and saw Croy.
Yeah.
So now we're back with Croy, huh?
Yeah. So Katie and I, we took a taxi out to way out the complex where Croy was, and Katie had, like, the directions down, but the taxi driver kept going, like, the wrong way, and she ends up going down a road that just ends, and there's people, like, kind of just walking this old bridge, and she comes to a dead end and points to, like, the highway's up there. Well, the road ends, so you can't get there. Mm. And so Katie started to get, like, come on, let's go. So we eventually get there. It just took longer than we expected. So we missed the beginning of Croy's, like, the final game. But it was pretty cool because we get to this complex and there's, like, nothing around. Just some, like, bloody pigs hanging or lambs or something. And, like, some street people, like, people selling things on the street. And then this Olympic complex.
So strange.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. It's set against this backdrop of mountains and... We enter thinking, like, are they going to kick us out? Because we are not Olympians. And there's, I don't know, 50 speedwalkers, like, training just on the road that goes in and out, like, into the complex. Up and down. So,
I guess... Like, doing the hip shake thing?
Yeah, and it was men, women, seemed like different ages, but they were all really fit. So, I assume they're, like, world class.
That's strange. Somehow I'd picture them, like, when they're training, I would picture them running.
Yeah, you know, like, right, you think, but No, this was...
And then, like, slow down to walking for their actual competition.
Yeah.
I guess not.
I know. I suppose you have to get that hip movement.
Yeah, I guess it's all like, about that.
Huh? Oh, man. Yeah. Hips don't lie or something? I don't know. But, so we saw them. We snuck a few pictures because it looked, like, weird with these groups of speedwalkers in the middle of nowhere. We got into the curling facility, and again, like, no one checked us for our... We thought we'd have to show our passports. We just walked in and...
Walked in.
And caught the game. Katie, back when Katie was in Madison, we joked that she was Croy's biggest fan, because for people who don't know, in curling, it's very, like, a very polite sport. You don't yell and scream for teams. But when Katie would watch Croy, she wanted to create cheers. So...
Yeah.
So it was really hard to, like... We're like, for this one, we are right. It was almost like hockey bleachers were right on the ice. So we did some cheering, but we tried to like be respectful and and like not create a cheer for Croy.
I just remember Happy Gilmore.
When they're like, yes, it's like that.
It's like that. Like, what did the announcer say? It's like a economically diverse crowd.
Yes, like that. Strangely, golf and curling are both from Scotland, so...
Oh, yeah, I guess it makes sense then.
Right.
They're both polite, quiet sports.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. We got to watch the game. It didn't necessarily end how we'd hope, but we were there supporting you. Your biggest fans.
Yeah, and then I treated them to our buffet lunch that we got for...
Yeah.
6 days in a row. And
how was that?
It was good. They had some variety, but a lot of times we had the same thing meal after meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh, man.
They really liked their spaghetti. So,
wow. So you guys never got to leave the facility the whole time?
No. Some teams did later in the week get to go into the city and get some pizza or something. But it never worked out for us to leave. We thought about going the last day after our final game, but then we decided to watch the women's game because the U.S. team was in the bronze medal game.
Oh, okay. How did they do?
They won that game, so they got third.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And the Canadian team was looking at going to a Buddhist temple that was south of the complex, but... We had wanted to go with them as well, but it didn't work out. I guess it was too far away or something. But that worked out because we went the next day.
Yeah.
The four of us went. I don't remember what it's called. But
when you joined us, yeah.
Tar Su.
That's why you don't remember, because you can't say it.
Yeah. But it had an English name, too, that was totally different.
Yeah.
But the Chinese name was Tar Su.
Yep.
And... Yeah, so we, the next day we decided to go there and we took the bus out.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was funny because our hostel guide had, or the guy at the hostel had suggested this place, but like, the translation was really strange because he was telling us that we could see these seasonal sculptures made of butter. We're like, is that right?
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, he was like talking in his phone.
Yeah.
He was saying something and I didn't quite understand what he meant. He's like, oh, let me just... Give me my phone. And then it's just like sculpture, this and that, and then butter was thrown in there.
Yeah.
And we thought it was just Google screwing up. Like,
right.
It must have been like not butter? Hearing or bad translation.
Yeah.
We just kind of brushed it off, you know.
Right. We'll see whatever these cool sculptures are.
Yeah. Along with some other, like, specific type of artwork that he...
Yes.
Yeah, he had a few pieces that he showed us.
Right, like on scrolls that were really colorful and beautiful.
Yeah, these... Right, yeah. Right. Scrolls that he rolled out.
Yeah.
But then, so we went there.
Yeah.
How was it?
Well, poor Dan was... You took your camera out, so you're feeling good enough to do that. And then he had to sit down while we, like, walked up higher to see some...
Oh, that's right.
The palace. That was,
I thought I was getting better. This is, like, 5 days in, too.
Yeah, and, like, you started the day okay.
Yeah, I mean, I had been just kind of I went to a pharmacy once and got some cold medicine and... I swore I was improving, but it was more just wishful thinking. Like, for a day or two, I just had like this, it was like this my chest was just sore. It just felt like someone was standing on it. I was having a hard time breathing.
Yeah, and then not eating, which is just an unusual thing.
Yeah, no appetite at all.
Yeah.
And like, the reason I didn't go to a doctor is because we were in this little city of 2 million people, and there's no... Yeah, yeah. I called the insurance company. There's no international hospitals there. Yeah. I've had enough experiences in Chinese hospitals with Katie that to know. It's almost better to be sick.
Just deal with it. Oh.
Yeah, the lines can be really long, and no one's going to speak English. And I know some Chinese, but not enough to describe everything and know what kind of medicine they're going to give me.
What you're taking.
Yeah, there's just a lot of words that... I would need a huge vocabulary, I think, to feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah, that's true.
So I was going to wait until Xi'an if I wasn't improving still and find an international hospital here.
Fortunately.
But anyway, I thought that day I was getting better anyway.
Yeah.
Until I went up a flight of stairs and I just about collapsed. And so I had to just come back down.
Yeah. So we left you. We left you with the dogs. The dogs of the temple.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're
right.
Kind of circling around and... But then, Cory, what do we see? It's pretty awesome.
So we left Dan and then went up to the highest part of the area and saw this little temple. And then we walked down a little road and heard a bunch of clapping and chanting and saw some people taking pictures. And we got to where they were and we saw this... congregation of a whole bunch of
we don't know, would you call them llamas or monks?
Monks, I guess.
I think you could use either word.
Okay.
But there is a couple hundred of these monks that were doing these chants and these claps and wearing these cool, I guess, like caps.
Headdresses?
I wouldn't call it a headdress, but
robes, I guess.
Yeah,
this thing on their heads.
Kind of look like a mohawk.
Yeah, and it was really cool seeing them just do this chanting.
Yeah.
They've got like their prayer books open, right?
So we got a lot of pictures of that, and I took a video. And then all of a sudden, they all stopped and got in nice, neat rows, took their head things off and started their prayers, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dan, that's when you got to us. It was after they had already started their normal,
like
organized prayer.
Because up to that, it was kind of cool. They're like kind of like, I don't want to, not high fiving, but like snapping and kind of like jesting with each other. It was neat.
Yeah, there were probably over 100 of them, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
I would say close to 200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was also the moment I got my first people asking for my picture.
Oh, yeah.
I heard it was going to happen, and then...
The monks asking for your
picture? Oh, no, it was some tourists.
Oh, okay.
As I was taking a picture of this, kind of like peeking through the rooftops, this group behind me, they started giggling, and I looked, like, what's funny?
Yeah.
And then they kind of held up their camera and like pointed at me. I said, sure. So, like, rotated taking pictures with me. That was my first, I don't know.
There you go.
Photo of paparazzi.
10 minutes of Chinese fame.
Exactly. Yep. So.
Yeah, it is super common here, especially if you're blonde and or if you're really tall or look funny for some reason.
Well, now I'm seeing more than anyone else. I'm sure this has come out before, but Dan getting... in fact, I took a... I was very meta. I took a picture of Dan getting... a picture taken of Dan... right at that temple, a lady was, poor Dan, not feeling well, and this woman's trying to get her crying son to take a picture with him. She was just shoving the kid at you, like right after that.
I think the kid knew what was up with me, because he wouldn't come anywhere near me.
Maybe.
And I was like, lady, you don't want to shove that kid in my face. I'm sick.
Yeah. She's like, yes, I do.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just, I didn't want to say anything, but I was like, oh, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
But luckily the kid was terrified.
He was.
He wouldn't go anywhere near me.
Well, I kind of got a picture of that.
Yeah. Okay.
So maybe that can go on your notes too.
Yeah, that'll go on the show notes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, but we eventually got to the butter sculptures.
Oh, yeah.
They really were like this ridiculously ornate like wall of sculpture, right? Mm-hmm. With like a Buddha and flowers and incredibly colorful.
Well, at first we were just like looking at it. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it was, do I smell butter?
that's butter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like pretty interesting. I've never heard of someone sculpting butter.
Yeah. Like,
and I guess they only can do it during the winter. Like, makes sense.
They melt everywhere. Yeah. So I assume they do it every year. And that's like really impressive.
Yeah, only downside was it was behind this glass that had a really big, sharp glare to it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to see anything.
Yeah, and it was smeared, like someone with butterfingers were rubbing all over it.
Oh, yeah. So, but then inside those temples was, like, amazing, too.
Oh, yeah, there's so many, like, uh-huh. honoring different lamas, or, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, over the years. And then on most of the big candles, they had a big chunk of butter melting, so there's something with butter that I didn't...
That's true, too.
Yeah, I didn't get to find out what, like, that's going to require some more research, what's with butter.
Well, it looked like they were using it, butter instead of candle wax.
Yeah, maybe that, yeah.
Like, I guess it must just burn as well, it's fats, right?
Right, I guess so. Mm. It was interesting.
Yeah, that place was really cool, so it was kind of cool to get this mixture of the Buddhist culture and then the Muslim culture all together.
Mm-hmm, the same kind of region.
Yeah, and they're both, like, very important.
Yeah, right.
A lot of Tibetan culture there.
Yeah, and then to see, like, when Dan and I saw the Muslim men coming out of the temple, and then we saw the Buddhist chanting, it was neat to see that, like, different... I don't know.
And then once they finished, they all came out of the temple.
Yeah, and kind of gathered around the sides of the walls, and they didn't leave. They kind of just hung out like they're hanging out with buddies in groups along the wall and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny to see them doing, like, regular stuff. Yeah. I don't know. You just picture them being meditative all the time and not necessarily, like, chatting with their friends. And...
Right, or pulling out cell phones, because I saw a lot of that. Everyone had a cell phone.
A lot of them had phones. Some of them had motorcycles and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, then we went to catch a train.
Yeah. Oh, Troy, I feel like this is your moment. Taking the train.
He's all embarrassed. So I was really excited for this trip because I've never traveled on train before except for just commuting into Chicago or in, like, New York or something like that. But we had scheduled a soft sleeper cabin in a train from Xining to Xi'an. So that night we went and picked up our stuff from the hostel and then went to the train station, and I got my first real train ride, and it was in a sleeper cabin. So we walked for a while to find our car and then got in. And all the doors were labeled, like, with four numbers per room. So we found ours, and I don't know, I was kind of smiling because I was
kind of
wasn't sure what to expect, but it was, I don't know, slightly smaller than what I was expecting, but it was still really cool to all be in this two bunk bed or four, I guess, bunk beds.
Yeah, like, and two bunk beds, like, side to side with, like, a table in between.
Yeah, a little window and...
Yeah. Soft sleeper is so nice. That's the highest level that they have.
So great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, it was convenient. And what you can't see is, as Troy was describing this, like, again, he got this huge smile, like a kid on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
The train!
Yeah, get to take the train.
Yeah! It was cool. He was, like, jumped up on the top bunk, shoved his suitcases in... Is like thrilled.
Yeah.
And then poor Dan, he's like, I better take the top bunk because I just need to sleep.
Oh, yeah. I took a turn for the worse.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought I was dying or something. Yeah. Like, my fever was back.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
We just went out to, like, get dinner, and I wanted to just walk a little bit and hope it would get better. And I couldn't walk after, like, I could walk, like, for 2 minutes, and I was like, I'm going to collapse. And so I turned around. And I just poked my head in the pharmacy and asked the guy, like, oh, do you have anything for a fever? And he handed me some medicine, and then he kind of, like, He looked at me one more time. He must have known something was seriously wrong.
You didn't look good.
Yeah, because then he reached down and he gave me another box of medicine. And I'm like, oh, whatever, I'll buy it. And so I just paid for them and walked back, just shuffled back really, really slowly to the building.
Yeah.
And I just kind of collapsed on the couch in the lobby. I didn't even make it to the elevator.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oof. And I just, like, got out my phone and translated whatever he gave me. And I'm like, penicillin? Like, he gave me penicillin. Yeah. Like, I didn't know a pharmacist could give me the penicillin. No prescription. Like, and this cures bacterial infections of all sorts. Oh, wow. So I took that, and then the other one was, like, a fever reducer, which is what I needed also.
Yeah.
And I just sat on the couch, like, just sleeping, basically, for, like, half an hour. And then all of a sudden, like, half an hour later, I mean, I didn't feel perfect, but I felt a lot better.
Yeah. You looked a lot better once, like, once that kicked in.
Yeah.
Totally different person.
Like, oh, wow. Yeah. It's amazing how fast that can get, can go away with antibiotics.
Too bad you didn't know that before.
Oh, I know. I could have saved myself, like, 5 days of agony.
Yeah.
It's just that Katie takes glucosamine, which at home you just get over the counter, no problem, but here you need a prescription for it.
Oh.
And so she has to, like, go to the doctor and get it all. It's like a big hassle.
That's why I brought some for her.
Yeah, so I just kind of assumed any Western medicine
would
you need a prescription, but no, I guess not.
Good.
So there you go. There's some advice for you guys if you get sick in China.
Yeah, don't hesitate.
Yeah.
Go get some amoxicillin, penicillin. Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, there's the factor that, like, I wouldn't want to take that on the first day, not until I knew I really needed it.
That's a good point.
But by then, I pretty much knew it.
Yeah.
So I kind of just collapsed in the top bunk of that train and just slept for, like, 12 hours or something out of the 13 that we were going for.
Yeah,
but it felt a lot better the next morning.
Yeah, you bounced kind of out of bed. Yeah, you missed, like, we had some beers, we had some wine. Mm. Crow is just happy. So, and it was pretty comfortable. Slept the whole night and had enough time in the morning to eat some breakfast, have some coffee, and then gather our stuff and off the train.
Yeah, the trains are one of my favorite parts of China because the whole country has a really great train network.
It's amazing how far. Like, it's such a big country, and, like, go to sleep in one city, and hours later, bam, you're in a totally new place.
And tomorrow you get to take the high-speed rail.
Yeah, that'll be our first high-speed rail here in China.
Yeah.
Off to Pingyao.
So, hopefully you get a car where they have the speedometer, because...
Oh.
Yeah, because they go over 300 kilometers an hour. Sometimes they show you
really
how fast you're going.
I already see Chris smiling. Yep.
Yeah, he's already lighting up. Yeah. It is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'll admit it.
Yeah, they'll look forward to that, too.
Yep. So we got to Xi'an.
Yep.
And we, again, walked to a hostel.
Yep. Really nice place. Like,
there's some nice rooms here at a very reasonable price.
Yeah, we've got our own bathroom. It was kind of decorated for Christmas down in the entryway.
Yeah.
It has a bar, internet. Yeah, warm water.
Yeah, what more can you ask for?
Exactly.
You get some good value here.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's when Croy and I left you guys, and we went to the Terracotta Warriors. That was one of Croy's to-do lists. Like, when we came to China, knowing that he was going to curl in Xining, and that it was far out from anything.
Yeah.
His one request was to see the Terracotta Warriors.
What did you think?
Yeah, it was awesome. We get there about 2 o'clock.
Yeah, maybe a little earlier than that. I don't know.
We grabbed a little bite to eat in one of the restaurants outside the museums. And then we got our tickets, and then we were going in, and we got hassled by a couple of people that were offering to give private tours.
Yeah,
and
got hounded.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So we talked. Well, one of them just kept lowering her prices. So finally, we said yes. So she.
Yeah, we didn't tell you that.
Oh, you got a guide. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
she was pretty good.
Yeah. She gave us a lot of cool information that
that's
we
good.
Probably wouldn't have known before or otherwise. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what you would do is like take us through the shops. Oh, you can work with this guy for this.
That's
kind of annoying, but she was really helpful.
Yeah, I found anytime you take a tour here,
yeah,
they're gonna take you shopping.
Oh yeah, yep, yeah.
Except there's like in the hostel here where we're staying, in the lobby, there's signs up that say like we offer terracotta warrior tours. And then it says in big letters, like, no shopping.
I saw that. Too late.
We will not take you shopping.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's cool because you can do stuff like that really cheap in China. Oh, and you just have to be very firm and say no, 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 no. And say it like 1,000 times when they try to get you to buy stuff. And then they'll try to guilt you into it because, like, that's how they make their money.
There was one guy who followed Croy like across the courtyard into one of the pits and would not leave, and he's trying to sell like a set of the Terracotta Warriors, and he started it, I don't know, a lot.
The set was like 1,000 yuan in the gift shop, but it was it was low season, so they're giving everything half price. So it would have been 500, and we ended up buying just a single individual one. But like, we walk out of the gift store and walking into the third pit, and this guy comes up with a backpack full of these little Terracotta Warrior sets, and he's like, starts at 200, like, 200, 200, 200. And then I was like, no, no, no. And he kept, him and one of the guy just kept dropping the price, like, got down to 120, and then I said no. And then he followed us into the pit, and I was trying to listen to our tour lady, but this guy kept hounding me.
Wow.
And it got all the way down to, I think, 30. 30 yuan, and the woman had told Shalon that these were stolen sets, and that if we wanted them, we should offer 5.
So
I offered 5, but he wouldn't take it. Yeah. So finally, eventually, he left us.
Yeah. Okay. So, so 5 would not have given him a profit.
Exactly. Yeah.
That might be what he paid for them, though.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like you might think bargaining works. Like, they start at 200, and you try to get it for like 180.
Yeah.
No, it's like they start at 200, and you try to get it for 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we didn't really need it, so it was good when he finally left. That was actually getting really annoying, like, in the face. But it was cool to see the Terracotta Warriors, and we saw some of the archaeologists, like, doing their excavating at the time, so it was really neat.
Right. Yeah, they're still digging them.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much still to uncover.
It's amazing. And it's been, like, almost 50 years, I think, since they discovered them.
Wow. 74 was when they did. When they
1974?
Yeah, a farmer.
Oh, so it's been over 70.
Or
50 years.
1974.
No, so no, over 40 years.
Yeah. So, the farmer was digging a well and came upon these ruins. And actually, our guide said, he was a very poor man, but now he is very rich and famous.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, I remember, because I went like last year or 2 years ago, maybe, even I forget, and I remember them putting his picture up like all over.
I didn't notice his picture, but I'm sure we just didn't see it.
And he's like still alive today.
I suppose it's not that long ago.
He was a young man when he found them.
So we got to do that, and we left and got some pomegranate juice, which was amazing. made it back to Xi'an in like pretty decent time. We met up with you guys. And that's when it was off to our next adventure.
Yeah, and where was that?
Muslim quarter.
Yeah.
That did not disappoint. What did you think would cry when you got there?
Yeah, it was really cool. There's a couple streets in Hong Kong that were similar to it. That I really enjoyed, like late night markets, but those were all just like shops. They weren't food stands. So this last night was really cool because there's so many different types of food, and like obviously a lot of the same types of food, but it was a lot of cool smells and a lot of really good food.
Yeah, the place really assaults your senses. Oh, I mean, there's just so much noise.
Yeah.
Just dudes, like, hammering candy with giant mouths, like, boom, 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 constantly.
Yeah.
People shouting to get your attention.
Twisting the candy thing, like, that, whatever, the ginger candy or something. Twisting and pulling it away from the wall. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So putting on a big show for you.
Yeah. Except for the first guy that was doing his candy. I think he got nervous when he saw us watching.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of, like, stopped.
It looked like he was trying to pee or something, and he couldn't because you were watching him.
Yeah, stage fright.
He's kind of had his candy, and he was looking over his shoulder behind him, like, oh, I don't want to twist the candy. Yeah. The foreigners are watching.
They're judging.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had to go on and see someone else do a little better job with it. A little more confident job.
And they'll stretch this candy out so far that they have to, like, throw it over a hook. And if they stretch it out just a little too far, it's going to scrape the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And the ground is nasty. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And this is like candy that people are going to buy.
We bought. So,
yeah. You don't know.
Yeah.
So I wonder if anyone was... I wonder if that's what he's worried about.
Like, oh, maybe.
Oh, the candy might hit the ground.
The Americans are going to see.
Probably not.
Yeah. But... Well, the other guy who was not afraid to do his job, like stretching and pulling and stuff, like mid-stretch, he reached over to like the... Warshaw? The meat stand? Remember the stand next to his candy stand was like meat on a stick?
Yeah. Chwar?
Chwar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he like takes one hand and like grabs some raw sticks of meat and like hands it to the guy who's cooking them and like goes right back to grabbing his candy and stretching it.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, there was one guy grilling meat.
Yeah.
And then there were a few more like raw pieces of meat on sticks that were a little bit out of his reach. And he asked the candy guy, hey, a little help. And so the candy guy was grabbing those sticks.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit of cross-contamination there with raw meat and candy.
Hopefully we didn't get that bad.
Hopefully you grabbed the sterile part of the stick.
Sure.
Yeah. You're going to have a fun surprise in the morning.
Yep.
Once you get back home, that is.
Oh, yeah. We'll give those away for gifts. Sorry, Mom and Dad. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here. You just kind of have to ignore it.
Yeah.
Pretend you don't see it.
That's...
Well, you know, just, food safety.
That's true. But, I mean, it wasn't bothering us at the time. We had, like, the Chinese hamburger things and sort of, I don't know, rice roll. And what else?
Meat
on a stick. The chwar.
Chwar.
Yeah.
Candy.
Candy, yeah, we weren't shy. We were getting like everything. It was great.
Yeah.
Like, how can you not? It was so good. And just like eating and looking around and then dodging like the bikes that were still coming down the alleyway.
Oh yeah.
The motorcycles.
Despite thousands of people there.
Yeah, like people kind of like elbowing their way through, and then there's a motorcycle coming through too.
Right.
Yeah.
It's they'll give you ADD like really quickly.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's definitely one of my favorite. Like city attractions in China, the Muslim quarter.
I can see that.
but yeah, it's really intense.
Yeah.
It's almost like hard to go back home after seeing stuff like that.
Yeah, because like there's just not anything that's like that. I mean,
nah.
You can say like Vegas, there's flashing lights, but that's not like this where they're like making stuff and like yelling to you and not in a rude way. It's cool.
Yeah, it's like more intense than Times Square. But,
yeah,
but
yeah.
like a
small area.
Yeah, and
tight quarters.
And that's not even a giant Chinese city. That's just like a 10 million city.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just you can't even compare it with any American stuff because with the number of people, it just doesn't exist in the U.S.
Yeah, so like, what a treat for us to do that. Like, I mean, we wouldn't have ever seen that without you guys. So,
yeah,
it was pretty cool. And
pretty awesome.
Yeah, they kind of prepared us before we went. Like, get ready for your senses to get this overhaul.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. It was great. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So now you've got like a couple more stops, and then you're gonna fly back home.
Yeah. On to Pingyao tomorrow.
You'll be able to like relax a little bit there. It's a smaller town. There's like this ancient city wall that may or may not have been rebuilt. I'm not sure. But inside of it, a large part of it doesn't allow cars. Okay. So yeah, you'll
for us probably.
Yeah, you'll be able to walk easily, and it's more relaxed in there. It's not as hectic as the Muslim quarter.
Yeah, that's because we won't have our guys to help us through things. So
yeah.
Dan and Katie have been kind of coaching us, but mostly Croy, on like reading the maps, Baidu, the trains, and
yeah.
It's good.
It can be a little overwhelming, I guess, if you don't know any Chinese.
Yeah, I've learned a few characters, so now I know noodles. It's like the TNT.
Yeah, it looks like the cartoony kind of Bugs Bunny type TNT thing.
Yeah, so if I'm hungry, at least we can find noodles, Croy.
Now, sometimes they'll take that character. It's really cool. They'll make it look like a bowl of noodles with chopsticks.
Oh.
Yeah, they'll just modify it a little bit. And you can tell it's the character for noodles, but it looks like a picture of noodles.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'm probably, like, driving Dan nuts with my ridiculous questions, but, like, I asked him, like, oh, are there different fonts? Because I don't know. It's always, to me, it looks really artistic. And then you made the point, like, yeah, when people, like, tattoo characters, it's like someone using, like, Times New Roman to... You know,
yeah, you don't want to get that one.
Right, like you don't want to...
The blocky one.
Yeah.
That's kind of your standard font.
Which is, like, I guess makes sense, but it's funny because I'm thinking, oh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, another mistake people make when they get Chinese character tattoos sometimes is they'll get the simplified characters, which they use in mainland China, but even Chinese people would agree that the original characters look a lot more beautiful. And so any sort of traditional painting or artwork, they're always going to use the traditional characters.
Oh.
Yeah, even in the mainland.
Learning more things, see?
Yeah, and those simplified ones are just kind of for practical day-to-day usage.
Oh, like a McDonald's menu or something.
Well, yeah, you know, any menu, but...
Yeah, right? Yeah, fair.
But not for art.
Yeah, makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah. After Pingyao, we have another speed train, woo, to Beijing, and... where I'll test my memory and get back to your place, yours and Katie's place.
Yeah, without us, because we're flying to Yunnan.
Yeah, which is going to be awesome for you. And
we've
got stuff to do in Beijing that we haven't seen the Great Wall yet, or the Forbidden City, so.
Yeah, got a couple stops left.
Yeah.
We
leave, we'll get back. Well, it's funny because we leave the 24th, so Christmas Eve, and we get back on the 24th, Christmas
Eve.
Yeah,
that's a good thing about flying home.
That is kind of nice.
You sometimes can get back before you leave.
Oh, I suppose.
Yeah, that happened to me last time.
Nice, you get a whole game.
Yeah, I think I left at like, I forget, like 3 in the afternoon, and I got home at 1 in the afternoon.
That was
something
great.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not bad.
Yeah. Not like on the way here when I took my, I left Tuesday morning, like U.S. time, and I got here Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Tuesday morning to Thursday morning. I lost a little bit of time there.
Yeah, you always lose at least a day.
Oh, man. Yeah. But, it's been, like, so cool. Just so many, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys have enjoyed yourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had a really good time, and a couple more things I'm really excited for.
Yeah.
Great Wall. And Forbidden City in Beijing.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are two of the biggest highlights in the country, too.
Maybe I'll take Croy to Beijing Duck. I can't guarantee I can find the one we went to, but...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it was so good. You might like that. I know you
would. Well, for sure. There's a lot of options for Beijing Duck, too.
Maybe I'll find another.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you need help, we can always help you find that one.
You guys have been awesome. Oh, my gosh. Katie and Dan are... awesome guides.
No, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, well,
we've lived here for a couple years now, so we've learned a lot.
Learned a few tricks.
There's still a lot to learn.
Yeah, that's true. Every day you can learn stuff here.
Yeah, you like need a lifetime here, really.
That's
true. Such a big country with a long history and really vibrant culture.
Yeah, it's I mean, well, just the places we've been, which is so we made it to let's see, we'll make it to like 4 provinces. But each one is different, and the people are different, and
that's true. Each part of the country you go to, you're going to hear like different dialects, which they use the word dialect, but a lot of the time it means language. Totally different languages.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, everybody speaks Chinese or Mandarin, or pretty much everyone does, but then they have their local languages. Unless if you're from Beijing or that area where the local language is Mandarin.
Oh, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much to learn. I mean, like you said, you could be here a lifetime and not get it all in.
Yeah, just scratching the surface of it, really.
Oh, yeah. Well, we definitely hope to come back, right, Corey?
Yeah. Did you get your 10-year visas?
We did. Yeah.
Okay, so plenty of time to come back. Well, we should wrap it up right there, then.
I suppose so.
Thanks for doing this, guys. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. No problem. Yeah, looking forward to listening to the podcast.
Yeah, and I hope you keep listening in the future.
Oh, it's like a
new adventure each time.
That's true. I'm looking forward to that. Craig can listen to it on his long drive to work.
Yeah, totally. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For more information, you can visit my website, 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number 1000daysbetween.com. From there, you can sign up to get updates from this podcast delivered directly to your inbox. Remember, the Around the World podcast is all about meeting ordinary people who have done extraordinary things. Thanks for listening.